Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome again to Conversations with Spirit 2 here on Make Spirit FM. I am your host Matthew James. It's a little over 8:05 here in Canberra in Australia. Hello to everyone wherever you are listening from. This is the show that goes out once a week and we discuss spiritual matters. Last week we had a fantastic guest on. We had Standing Bear. We talked about a lot of the Native American traditions and a lot of the Native American values. And I know he was a very popular guy. I know that from Facebook and I also know that from the chat room. Well, my good friend Standing Bear is going to be on again probably either next week or the week after. This week we've got another fantastic guest. She's already made an appearance on the show. We are going to be talking about colour. Music, colour therapy, colour healing, meditation, everything to do with colour and music and how it affects us and influences us and we can benefit from it. And I know it's going to be a really good show because aren't they always a good show on Conversations with Spirit? I think they are. We always get into a good discussion evening and time always goes really quickly. Now, for anyone who's actually currently in the switchboard or is actually thinking of calling in, can I just remind you that the idea of this evening is really to share your insights or your views or ask your questions of a self-development nature, not necessarily personal readings of what's happening in your love life or what's happening in other aspects of your life. I'm trying to dedicate this particular show to spiritual development, spiritual awareness, and all manner of esoteric subjects are going to be discussed on this show. Now, we do have a guest calling number. It's area code 760-283-4611 if you are interested in calling in. I'm also recommending that you try Skyping in as well. Just from the... I'm a little bit tongue-tied there, my apologies. From the listener, from the player that you've got on your screen at the moment on your computer, you'll see a little blue Skype button, little S button. Press that, follow the instructions, and you can come through on the switchboard, and you can join in with our conversations. The chat room is also open. I'm encouraging people to come into the chat room. Ask your questions in there as well. Now, we will give some shout-outs from there, and we will discuss the matters that are being discussed in the chat room as well. Now, I just want to just do my little bit of blurb before I introduce my fantastic guest. I am Matthew James, as I've mentioned. This is one of my two radio shows that I do here on the Mike Spirit FM. My website is www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Now, I'm a medium. I'm a clairvoyant. I have been professionally since the mid-1980s. I am available for absent readings, for distance readings by Skype and phone call. Now, obviously, all my details are on my webpage, and anyone interested in finding out a bit more about me, I suggest you go over there and you have a nosy. Now, without further ado, I want to introduce my good friend from Sydney here in Australia. It's Daniel Lee. How are you, Daniel?
Good evening, Matthew. I'm well. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I had a few glitches before the show started with music coming on of its own accord and a few other things. But, we're not too bad. I know you mentioned to me you've got a new set of headphones. So I think we're cooking with gas this evening, aren't we? I think that's the expression.
Yes, cooking with gas is the best. Better than electricity.
How have you been it's been, probably about 3-4 weeks since you were last on the show. How have you been, Danielle?
I've had a few ups and downs. I've had a few deaths in my family, which has been a bit of a, shocker. But I've just started this week getting back on track, and I've got lots of things happening, lots of things in the works-wise, and things have really taken a turn. It's funny you ask that because 3 weeks ago I saw a sign on a number plate that was said 3 weeks. And I went, ooh, I feel that's to do with work. And then later on that same day, I saw on a shop front something and it said 3 weeks. And I thought, well, there's definitely a sign. And this week, is like on Sunday, was a big clincher. Everything, I don't know how to say it, but it was a bit all positive. But
yep.
Before it got positive, it was all very up in the air. Like, it was just very topsy-turvy, to say the least. And everything's now on track, and I've got work lining up everywhere, and in the Gold Coast, and back into Ralga, where I used to do my ghost tours. So it's all happening. So I'm very excited.
Ah, good, because I know I was just going to say then, I think for everybody who's spiritual or everybody who's sensitive out there, I think they will be finding themselves in a very similar topsy-turvy, up and down, backwards and forwards sort of vibration, because I think that's what's actually going on in the world at the moment, don't you, Danielle?
I think so. Definitely there's something going on that is out of our control.
Now, I know probably about 3 days ago, or even 2 days ago, or it might even be one day. I mean, it's been such a hectic week for me. I sent you a PM on Facebook and said, Danielle, what are we talking about this week? And you came up with this fantastic suggestion about what we're going to talk about this evening, colour and healing and sound, and I'm thinking about extending it into meditation, into talking about the chakras and how we respond to colours and etc. etc. What exactly did you have in mind when you made that suggestion?
Well, it was just something that came to me because at my spiritual church in Awadulla, our next service is about learning about colour therapy and ways it can help you. Like it's colours with crystals and colours that you have it painted in your room and in your workplace and just general colours every day, as well as music therapy, how music makes us feel. Some music makes us feel empowered and some of it makes us feel relaxed. And I also wanted to do a way to use it without having to do all the ritualistic things that we do if we haven't got time, because there's so much time in this world that we don't have at the moment because life becomes too busy.
That's
a way of being able to do it without having and simplify it without having the stress that we can't do it. So we could be out somewhere and just visualize green for calming. You know, if we're having a bit of a topsy-turvy day, we're sitting in the car, there's a bit of light, just visualize green in your mind while you're driving. So that will help you, you know, to move forward and relax at the same time while you're still moving.
That is correct. Do you want to just quickly let everybody know who you are, what you are, and how to get hold of you?
Yes, my name is Danielle Lee. I am a medium. I've been a medium my whole life. I've been a medium, clairvoyant, clairsentient, all the clairs pretty much in balance my whole life. I do readings. I now run a spiritual church called Crystal Light in Awadulla, which is on the south coast in Australia, for those who don't know. I do lots of different things, and I do workshops, and I'm doing inspirational speaking, and you know, so I do. There's lots of things I do. I do face to face readings. I can do Skype. I can do Facebook. I can do it anywhere, pretty much. So it's all happening.
It is all happening. I mean, I know, I think when we first met, it was an expo, wasn't it, from memory? I can't quite remember which one it was, but our paths kept crossing, didn't they?
They sure did. There's been a few. I haven't done an expo for a while, actually, a few years. So I think next July is the one I've booked in for, so in Canberra.
You're in Canberra. You're doing one in Canberra. Now, just to give, I've been having a bit of an argument with some New South Wales friends. Is it Canberra or is it Canberra?
Well, I've always grown up with it in Canberra.
Yeah, thank you, Danielle. I said that, and they go, no, it's Canberra. It's double R. It's Canberra, and I've gone, no, it's Canberra.
Well, it's like Melbourne. We say Melbourne and other people in the world say Melbourne. So, you know, I think it's tomato.
Well, that, That's right. I mean, I had this other argument that here in Australia, there's vitamins, there's yogurt, but yet there isn't tomatoes. So why are you saying tomatoes? Why don't you say yogurt and vitamins like us Poms do?
Because we all have a natural tongue of our own, that's why.
That's right. That's right. And we say inquiries and you say inquiries like the Americans, and it gets so frustrating.
I say inquiry though. I inquire.
You must have some pom in you, Danielle.
I do. My grandmother, she was born here, but her older brothers and sisters and my great grandparents were born in England.
There you go. Now, I just want to say two quick shout-outs. We've got our friend Gillian Stuckey and Patty Muldering. They're both in the chat room. Hi, you two. Hope things are going well. She's saying she's had some problems with the chat room. Now, you've been having chat room problems as well, haven't you, trying to get in, Danielle?
Yes, I have. I sure have.
So it's
given up for tonight. I'm just not doing it.
No worries. I know it just went off before and it's coming back on again. So there's been a few issues. Right, I think we need to kick our discussion off. Where do we start? Do we start with colour? Do we start with music? What do we start with?
I've got so much going on in my head, like about this, way to start. And I started with the simplicity, like that's what first came to me, how to start. And life is so busy, and I think we'll branch out from there. I think this is how it needs to start, and then whatever happens, we just go with the flow. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. That's the type of show that we are. We just start at one point, and it branches out, and it takes a mind of its own, as it always does.
Yeah, so I think sometimes we make things so difficult spiritually when we're learning that we think we might have to do a ritual to make us, help us to relax or to meditate or to do colour therapy or to do anything really. So if for instance, if you had a crystal book there and you didn't have the crystal but you had a crystal book and you think to yourself, well, wow, that crystal could really help me. I wish I had it. All you have to do is put your hand on the book and you can feel the vibration coming off the book. And I've used this myself. And I did that in between doing my crystal therapy courses. And I told my teacher that. And she was blown away. And she said, yes, that's exactly what you can do. So that was just a simple way of not... And I even remember it was watermelon tourmaline. And I just thought, wow, that's so beautiful. And once I felt that property from it, without actually having the crystal in my hand, it works, you know. So you can do that type of stuff. And like I said, with the driving your car and you're thinking, oh, I need to just stop for 5 minutes. Well, while you're driving, like I said, if you get the colour green in your mind, then you're going to be able to calm, because green is a very calming colour. It's a very healing colour. It's also, you know, good for the heart. And to me, green is like life, because you've got the trees which have beautiful green leaves and the grass which is green, and you feel alive when you see that. And if you can't visualise it, like when I drive down to Ulladulla, it's all green and lush, like the trees, there's bush and trees and there's green lush, you know, pastures. And just that green all the way to Ulladulla just makes me feel very relaxed. So there's those sorts of things as well you can do. You just need to take in what's around you and what resources you have at that moment in time. And music's another thing. So if you don't have something on hand, like the song I'm a Woman on a Mission, when I'm thinking to myself, I need to get this done, I need to get this done, I need to get this done, I think to myself that song, and I have to think that song now, and it just puts me in that motivated mood to get what I need to get done. So it's just a way to, and meditating, that's another thing we can do. Like time is of the essence, and we go, oh, we don't have time to meditate. What do you do? I want to go to the gym, or I want to go for a walk, and this is just something you can do. You can blend the two together, because I'm not a big meditator, I'll admit that. But when I walk, all you have to do is go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and it calms your mind down because you're thinking, all you're thinking about is the counting, and then you forget about the counting, and then you go into this place that it's a meditative place while you're walking, and it works. And then you start getting messages, and then you start relaxing, and it's an all-over meditation plus exercise at the same time. So life doesn't have to be ritualistic, and it doesn't have to be hard.
That's right. I mean, I'll give you a prime example. I mean, I used to do 3 hours a day meditation on a regular basis, but as time now flies and it goes much quicker than it seemed to used to do, I got back from 5 days all around New South Wales yesterday, and I had a reading at a client at something like 6:30 last night, and about 4:30 I suddenly decided that I was too tired, so I had a power nap. So for half an hour I just had a power nap and a meditation, and I tell you something, when I do one of those power naps, I don't half feel revitalized afterwards.
Yeah, they're great. I only need 10 minutes. I can have a 10-minute power nap and I'm fine.
And I remember saying to Chris, to the wife, that it felt like I'd been asleep for about 5 hours. I went that deep, and you know, it was the incredible clarity that you close your eyes and straight away you're into one of those very, very lucid dream scenarios. And I can remember I was talking to somebody and something was going on and there was a document being handed to me. And in that half an hour, I must admit, that was probably one of the best meditations I've done for a very long time.
Yeah, see, it doesn't have to be 3 hours. I don't know how you used to do that. 3 hours of meditating, I'd be zonked out, I think.
I mean, to let you into a secret, I was out for 2.5 days once.
Matthew James, you just want to not be here on earth.
Oh, I mean, it was nobody could wake me up. And I was deeply asleep, and all I remember was vague areas of that day. It didn't seem like 2.5 days, put it that way.
That's amazing.
But that's an extreme. That was a real extreme. It's only ever happened once.
Well, you must have needed that time to yourself, is what I'm getting from that.
Yeah, I did. I mean, the weird story was that I remember in the meditation arriving in this place, in this planet, whatever you want to call it, and meeting these people. And in that meditation, in that two and a half days, it was like I'd spent about 70 years with these people.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
But it's only ever happened once, and it was, it is something that actually sticks with you. It's just, it was profound. But that's the extreme. I mean, when we're talking about meditation this evening, we're not talking about the 2.5 days or the 3 hours. I mean, it might just be a 5-minute meditation before you get up in the morning, or it might be 15-minute meditation during a lunch break at work.
See, a lot of people, I was told by a friend who's a psychic as well, I was told, Danielle, all you need to go and do is sit in nature for 10 minutes a week. That's all I want you to do. And then you'll be able to cope with everything. And at the time, I went, 10 minutes a week? Where am I going to fit that in? Where am I going to fit 10 minutes a week of going just sitting in nature somewhere? And, I mean, it could have been my backyard. But she also meant just to be away from everybody as well, so including my animals. So I locked them inside one day, and I went out the back and just laid there for 10 minutes. And I have to say, I stopped doing it for a while, and it affected me. I was having trouble coping with everything, and it was right, because I was having trouble coping with everything I was doing, because I do a lot of volunteer work in the community as well as my work. So being able to just stop and do that and make that time, 10 minutes a week is not that hard. Just to make that 10 minutes.
That's right.
And it's a start, you know. Because
that's right.
Take some time out.
That's right. I mean, I remember one of the best thing types of meditation I ever did was I was in the UK and I used to regularly visit Glastonbury Tor, and I would find this little grove on the left hand side of Glastonbury Tor. It was in, I think there was oak trees, there was beeches, there was ashes all the way around me, and I was in this special little space, and I had my special little spot, and I would just lean against a tree, and I would spend probably a couple of hours each time I used to go to Glastonbury, and it was a fantastic experience to hear the crows above you, and get the wind on your face, and the blooms and the flower smells on the air. It was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful. A few weeks ago, I was feeling a bit anxious and a bit cranky. Well, a lot cranky. I was very cranky, actually. So I thought, I dropped my son off at school, and where their school is, it's right on the Royal National Park. And I dropped him off at school, and I thought, I'm just going to go for a walk. And I walked for about an hour, just over an hour, in the thick of the bush, like there's no one else in there with me. And just having, like, seeing the kangaroos, you know, jumping and hearing them first and getting a bit freaked out. But at the same time, I knew I wasn't going to get hurt. You know, and I saw this beautiful black, baby black cockatoo that was just sitting there, and he was a meter away from me before he went, there's a human, and took off. And, you know, but it wasn't taking off in a... It was just like a shock. He wasn't prepared to see me there. Yeah. But then he just sat in the tree and watched me, like when he got up a little bit higher. So he wasn't freaked right out. But just being in that place away from, like in all that tree energy, because trees give off so much oxygen and everything was green and lush and, you know, the colour of the soil and the gravel and the natural colours, like the browns and the reds of the soil were beautiful. And it was just a nice place to be. And when I got out, I was fine. And then I just sat there on the grassy sort of area that's been cleared, and I just sat there with the sun, the morning sun, just sitting on my heart. It was just a nice place to be. And then all of a sudden, all these people started coming out of the bush and coming around the track. So it was just like it was meant to be for that moment in time for me, just to blow those cobwebs out.
Well, that's right. Now, I know there's going to be people listening in here who do quite a bit of meditation. I know there's one in particular, Gillian Stuckey. I've actually taken the girl on quite a few meditations. She's done quite a lot of path workings in her time. Those particular path workings do require a bit of thought and a bit of organisation, and obviously the right music, the right mood, the right intentions. But what we need to really discuss is though the meditations or the visualisations or even the contemplations for someone who's never done it before, how do they actually start? What's the best way for somebody who's never done a meditation before? How did they start?
Well, I just started, I think it's up to the individual and what they like, because we are all different. But if they start maybe with a guided meditation, maybe in 10 minutes, or even they could just get a nice bit of music that relaxes them. It doesn't necessarily have to be meditation music. It could be something like a nice classical music where people could just sit there for 10 minutes. And all it is about meditation for me is... When you need to relax before you go into the deeper parts of meditation where you get your messages, etc. I think it's all about just taking that time of 10 minutes so you know when the music stops, you know. Does that make sense?
That's right. Makes perfect sense.
So it's just a way of creating that place where you feel safe. Firstly, you need to feel safe. And you need to know that everything's going to be okay, and it's not scary. It's not, you know, because it can be scary thinking of meditation, and because they hear what people that have been doing it for years go through and what they see and what they feel, and it can be very daunting at first. But it isn't. It isn't really, okay, everybody? It isn't daunting. It's nice and relaxing. Puts you in a nice, calm state.
That's correct. Now, obviously, we're on the theme of music here, or how music influences us. And I always kind of recommend the new age music, the Med Goodalls or the Phil Thorntons, or I'm trying to think of other ones, and my mind's just gone blank now. The Runestones and etc. The Llewellyns, because they've all been specifically designed by someone who has probably been doing a meditation whilst they're actually creating the music, and they're all perfectly. I'm going to say perfectly aligned to somebody relaxing. But you've mentioned the classical music, but say you get one of the particularly powerful ones, I always find it's almost like an energy recharge or a bit of a kundalini dance with some of the classical music.
Well, that's what I was saying, it's up to the individual, but you can get some beautiful pieces of classical music that aren't that way inclined. You know, I've got some CDs here that's just nice classical. Well, I shouldn't say nice classical because I like all classical, but just calming classical, not any of the big, you know, deep cymbals, and they're going to just wake you up out of that. But yeah, with that music, with that deep, loud, intense, that would be very energy and lifting, you know. That's the word. And, you know, uplifting and motivating as well, like it will give you back some energy that you might need. Sometimes we get a few blocks inside ourselves and we just need something to shock it out of us. So I think that would be where that heavy classical music would work.
That's right. There's a particular Kitaro piece that I always use before an expo, and a number of people will see me sitting at my chair with some headphones on. I'm trying to remember the actual piece by Kitaro, but it is really powerful. It is a classical piece of music, but it starts at the feet. The energy sort of winds round all the way through the chakras. It is a really powerful piece of music, and I'm trying to remember what that piece of music is. But I mean, it music doesn't half stimulate you. That's the thing about music. It can make us happy. It can make us sad. It can inspire us. It can depress us. And I mean, this is the thing. It's somebody says it's the closest thing to
irritated.
That's right. Especially if I was to put some Iron Maiden or something on now. Not that I'm going to do.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too happily.
No.
You have to be new to that.
Yeah, the album, I've just had a quick look. If anyone wants a really good piece of meditation music to actually fire themselves up for the day and really get inspired, it's an album by Kitaro called Kojiki. And the particular track, I believe, is, and I can't pronounce it, it's track 4, which is Orochai. It's about 7 minutes long, and it is one of the most powerful pieces of music you're ever likely to hear for raising the chakras.
Wow. I'll have to have a look at that one.
Yeah, it's...
Another thing is, if you're in an environment... Sorry.
That's okay, no problem.
With my ghost tours, there was one of the tunnels that I was in, and I was in it in the daytime when I was first looking and researching, and the acoustics in that tunnel when I was singing and humming, that I just sat there and I did it, and I had my kids there with me, and they listened and went, wow, that is so beautiful, Mum. And I've never really gone back and created a CD, like, because it's all meditation, I would do it. You know, just that beautiful, the way the acoustics in that and the water running through it was just beautiful. So you can put yourself in a state without even realizing you're doing that either. Because if it sounds good, like, I didn't even realize it was me, but it was, obviously it was me, but it didn't sound like me. Well, I didn't think it sounded like me. But my boys were very blown away by how calming and how beautiful it sounded. So there's lots of different ways we can use music.
That's right.
Even tapping your fingers to a beat in your mind can help you to meditate in a way with still not being in that meditative state.
That's right. I'm going to actually give us a quick music break just to get the listeners in the mood. I'm going to put a track on by Meg Goodall, and it's actually off the, I think it's actually off the Excalibur album. There was a trilogy of New Age albums that Meg Goodall came out with in the 80s. There was Druid, which was what the opening piece was from. That piece that we actually started the show was Nine Maidens, which was off the Druid the Druid album. But I think this one is off the Excalibur. I know there was the Merlin album as well, but I believe this one is actually off the Excalibur album. So we'll be back in about 5 minutes. This is just a little bit of meditation music to really set the mood that everybody is supposed to be chilling and relaxing and listening to me and Danielle and enjoying the show, basically. So we'll be back in about 5 minutes. We'll be right back. Okay, you are listening to Conversations with Spirit 2 here on Mike Spirit FM. I'm your host, Matthew James, and in the guest chair this evening is the fantastic Danielle Lee from Sydney here in Australia. It's approximately 20 to 9 in the evening on Wednesday night here in Canberra. The discussion this evening is music, colour, meditation, and anything else that's actually going to come to light during our discussion. Just before the break, we were actually talking about meditations, and hence the reason why I played a piece by Med Goodall, and you, Beltane, from his, I believe it's the Excalibur album, bit of meditation music. Now, Danielle, just in the break, I just scribbled four little lines down, four little questions relating to meditation. How to sit, how to start, how to breathe, and what to think.
How to sit. Well, I lay down when I meditate. I don't actually sit, unless I'm in the car and I close my eyes and just have that power nap. Sometimes I just need to close my eyes. I don't know if it's a meditation, but I suppose it is, because I'm not actually sleeping, but I'm not awake either. I'm in that in-between state. But I lay down. I don't sit. And breathing, deep breathing. We forget to breathe with lots of things in our life. So in through the nose, hold it, and then from the bottom of your stomach, push the air up all the way through. And even breathing can put you into a relaxed state, not just specifically because you're getting more oxygen, but because when you're thinking about breathing, you're not thinking about everything else. It stops your mind. And that's what meditation is for, to start off with, is just get yourself into a place where you're not overthinking things, because we all overthink. And some of us are a lot worse than others. A lot of my clients are very big overthinkers. So I use different techniques with different people. So I think it's relative to the individual of what they do. What about you? How do you meditate?
Well, I mean, it really depends. I mean, I put a huge emphasis on on breathing. I mean, we all forget to breathe. It's really important that we do actually take those big breaths out, which take out all the negative, and breathe that fresh air in. But I tend to either focus on my breathing or listen to the pulse, my heart. And it takes, I don't know what the best way to describe it, but it sort of distracts that mechanical brain, the left brain, the logical brain. It takes your awareness away from, oh God, I forgot to wash the car this morning, or I've got that email to write in about half an hour, or my leg's itching, or I forgot to go to the loo. All the things that we actually go through our mind when we're meditating, if you're focusing on your breathing or focusing on your heartbeat, all that automatically seems to switch off. So, I mean, that's one of the main techniques that I use. Now, I can either meditate sitting down, sitting in a chair, or lying down. I must admit, I prefer lying down. I'm more comfortable because of my back problem, but I lie down. But I tend to always preempt a meditation with an intention or a desired place that I want to go. I always have a reason for a meditation. The problem I find is if I just do a preemptive, non-planned meditation, I start thinking about absolutely nothing. I'm in a nothing state. I'm not thinking about anything. And I get extremely bored because I then go, okay, what happens next?
But sometimes when you let yourself, because that's because you are a big thinker.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of thoughts and you have a lot of messages coming to you, as well as your own thoughts at the same time. But I think sometimes I used to be an overthinker, and I've brought my heart and my feeling, my emotions and my mind and my head back into balance now, and I'm not a big thinker anymore, and it's wonderful. I love it. And when I find myself going into that mode, because it's sometimes, 40 years old, or a little bit more, We'll
a little bit, yeah. You're like me. I'm 40 and a little bit.
But it becomes something that you can, a place where you can be when you allow yourself with your breathing and not thinking anything to go to that place of nothing.
Yeah.
And even when you're there, the things that you see, even though it's nothing, there is colour there and there is being there. There is something there. And I've been there a few times. Not very often that I go there because, A, I don't meditate very often, but when I do, I'm always getting messages for people because it's at my church or, you know, I'm in an environment where I'm meditating with a group of people, so I get messages. So I think if you allow yourself to sometimes just be, and even if it's for 5 minutes, Matthew, here's a little bit of a reading for you, even if it's just for 5 minutes, let yourself be in that. Give that vulnerability, give you, yourself, that vulnerability just to be in that place of nothing, just for a little bit, and experience, because once you let yourself go there, that nothing becomes something.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I'm looking at that, what to think. If somebody's not done a meditation before, and I said, that, like, for example, I mentioned before about an intention, I suppose an intention is what you want to learn, what you want to know about, what you want to know about yourself, and particularly where you maybe want to go. Maybe you want to go somewhere in the cosmos. Maybe you want to go to a particular place in the world as a remote viewing. And what I actually seriously recommend to anybody, if you are thinking of doing any of that type of meditation, go on the internet and start immersing yourself in, say you wanted to do a meditation where you found yourself at Stonehenge, for example. Go on the internet and look at pictures of Stonehenge, and before you actually do the meditation, actually visualize, contemplate yourself being there, really imagining yourself there being around the stones. And then when you put yourself in that meditative state, whether you're sitting down or you're lying down, however you're doing it, start visualizing that you're actually lying in those stones, or you've got those stones around you, or even you're sitting against one of the stones at Stonehenge. It's amazing how real that meditation comes very quickly.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. It is very relevant to the person and their own intention, and that's what they need. They need to have their own intention and know that that's okay, that they don't have to follow what Joe Blow over here is doing, or Megsy over there is doing, or Billy over there is doing. They can do their own thing. That's okay. It's okay to have what works for you, you know. So I think a lot of people get caught up. That's what I was talking about, simplifying and being ritualistic, because we think we have to do all these things when we don't have to do all these things that everybody else is doing. We can do our own thing that works for us.
That is correct. Now, to go on to the theme of this evening, how do we bring colour as well into a meditation? What's the best way of doing that as far as you're concerned? You're going to use like colour therapy, I'm treating meditation with music as the sound therapy, and we're inspired by the sound therapy. How do we bring the colour in?
Well, when we hear music, we see colour, or we feel colour. A colour will make us feel. It will make us feel great. It will make us feel motivated. It will make us feel inspired, like we were saying before. So there are colours that do that to us. There are colours that support us. There's colours that, you know, we feel, what's my colour? Like crimson. I love crimson because it's not pink and it's not red. It's crimson and it makes me feel safe. It's a safe colour for me. I grew up, my bedroom was red, predominantly red and white, and I was very angry for a lot of years, and I would say it was that red, and red used to be my favourite colour, and I'm not an angry person by nature, but it was situational as well, but the red definitely stimulated that passion inside me, and it's a stimulant. Red is a stimulative colour, and it's a passionate colour. So passion can be a good thing, and it can be, I don't want to say negative, but a challenging thing, some of our passions that we have. And when we are stimulated by red, you have to be careful of what mood you're in when you are around it, if that makes sense. When I used to wear red, I haven't worn red for a long time, but when I wear red, people go, wow, that's your colour. But I'm more into turquoises now and calming blues and, you know, that. And but like I said, the crimson makes me feel safe. Do you have a colour that makes you feel safe?
Well, I'm gonna state the absolute obvious. When I want to feel safe, I wear black.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I put black jeans on, and I'll put a black top on, or I'll put a black shirt on.
See, I feel I'm not getting safe from black from myself. So that just shows everyone's different intention and what's different for everybody else.
Because I always see black as a perfect shroud, because I'm talking about the veil of invisibility, something that I taught myself, oh God, this is many years ago. I had a surf shack, oh, I can't even remember what they're called now, Fat Willie's Surf Shack or something, which is a series of surf shacks in the UK. I had a black top with a hood on it, and I used to wear this. And I used to feel really safe with this black top on. It was a scenario of I always assimilated wearing black with feeling safe. And then when I got into meditation work and I got into the magic work and I got into all the ritual work that I did, I always found myself feeling very safe wearing black.
That's so funny, because when you talk about the cloak of invisibility, mine is always like a silvery, you know, that chiffon. It's like a white silvery chiffon. That's what I see as my cloak of invisibility. And when I put that over me, like when I visualize that and see it in my mind's eye, or when I close my eyes, I see it in my mind for the people that are learning, no one sees me. It works.
That's right.
So that's different. There's that contrast of different, what works for different people.
Believe me, when you say nobody sees you, just for the benefit of people who are listening, I used to actually do visualization techniques, or I'd put this black top on, and I would be in a busy street in Blackpool, my hometown. And you imagine it's a seaside town. There are lots of people in the street. You're having to go right, left, back, forwards to avoid people. There's all the hustle and bustle. I used to put this black top on, and I actually used to visualize a triangular vector of energy in front of me. No, nobody would cross into that area. And you know, Danielle, that I would have a space in front of me where there would be no people.
Yep, I believe that, because that happens to me when I put mine on, when I just think about it.
The other thing that's a problem, though, is I did it in Adelaide. I worked in Adelaide for 6 months. Now, I didn't have a black top as such, but I put this vector around me, and I made myself invisible. I was that invisible, people were walking into me because they didn't think I was there.
Yeah, that can happen too, as well. I have had that problem, and I think, what's going on here? But then, yeah, so it's.
But again, I mean, people are going to say to us, well, what is the relevance of this? Well, I've quoted the word a visualization. I'm visualizing invisibility. I'm visualizing a delta where of energy, a vector of energy like a triangle in front of me. Visualization is another form of meditation. It's like a daydream where you're actually picturing an intention. You're picturing something actually happening on the physical plane. And as much as it's a simple ritual, it's still a meditation.
Yeah. But everything, you can make it to what works for you. Like, and that's right. That's your type of meditation sometimes. I think we're getting, it's funny how the tangents go, isn't it?
That's right.
But now we're on the, from colour, we got to this, which is all tying in with the meditation.
Well, that's right. I mean, you've mentioned red. And red for me is, if I was to put red on, I get a lot of energy from red. I see red as red and orange to me, and even gold to a certain degree, and even yellow, but not as much. If I put a yellow on, or an orange, or a red on, I will get energy. I will feel energized. I will be inspired by that color that is actually I'm wearing, and I will get energy. And when you think about it, you're putting those colors directly into your aura. Mm-hmm. And what is yellow? What is orange? What is red? It's different degree. It's like the sun, isn't it? The sun rising, sun setting. And what is the sun? It's energy.
Very true. I have actually got a book here called Color Magic for Beginners. And red is useful for eliminating negative thoughts and to counteract a lack of energy. To overcome fatigue, you should wear red whenever you are suffering from frustration or apathy or feelings of hopelessness. You do also have to be careful that if you have got frustration, that it's not to the point where if you wear red, it will stimulate you and have a negative effect and overly stimulate you. But it does give, red gives us confidence and strength and stamina and enthusiasm and persistence, it says here, and it breaks down our inhibitions. I think I've got to sneeze. Oh, no, it's gone now. It can also restore joy and happiness. Wear red on any occasion when it's important that you succeed. Someone once told me that red is a popular colour for clothing during wartime as it gives courage.
That's a good one.
Very good for wearing when you've been sick, as it generates energy and vitality.
Well, work this one out, right? I've got brown slippers on, black socks, black jeans. I've got a white T-shirt with a grey jumper on.
I'm glad you're at home and not out in the public with all those different colours. I think they're not very bright colours. They're very calming colours. They're very neutral colours. So you're feeling very neutral generally. Mm. And the brown helps to eliminate panic attacks, anxiety and emotional insecurity. It grounds you to the earth and helps you keep matters in proportion. Brown is one of the main colours of nature. It is warming and life-affirming. You should wear brown whenever you feel frightened or uncertain about the future or need to feel safe and secure. And see, you can do readings. You can get messages from colours. So the messaging, you said you had brown slippers on, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that your feet are what ground you. And what I was getting was that you're feeling not frightened, but uncertain of if the show is going to air tonight because of all the little glitches.
Dead right, because we've got the Blog Talk Radio gremlins as usual.
That's right. So that's where I'm getting the brown is helping you to relieve that feeling of uncertainty about what was going to happen tonight. But here we are. We've made it.
We've set a bit of a trend off. We've got Gil here saying, grey pants, purple T-shirt and black hoodie.
I have to say, because I was wearing, I've got black top and black pants, but I had on a beigey brown poncho today when I was out because it was freezing, and my black boots, but the colour socks I had was bright pink on the inside just to give me that bit of, you know, colour, because I need that bit of colour for myself.
Because I'm looking and I'm thinking, purple. I get headaches with purple. I think too much when I've got purple. When I'm wearing purple, I think too much.
It depends on the purple for me. If it's like that dark purple, then I feel irritated by it. If it's like a lilac or a violet, it's not, or an indigo, that's fine. But that purple, you know, that deep purple, I can't do that. I feel irritated by it. Isn't that funny? Let's see what purple says. Purple.
High vibrational colour, I bet. A mind colour, I would imagine.
got indigo here, but no purple. So I don't know, indigo and violet, but there's no purple. So if indigo is your favourite colour, you're reserved, sensitive, emotional and intuitive, which I love indigo, you are gentle, supportive and caring, you tend to fall in love easily and are sometimes hurt by the comments and attitudes of others. The central focus of your life is likely to be family and friends. You're responsible and enjoy solving problems. That does sound like me. This is what your favourite... Actually, this is funny because this is what your favourite colour reveals, and indigo would be my favourite colour. Sorry, I've skipped to the wrong section.
Blue's my favourite colour. Sort of a, I don't know, sort of a skyish blue kind of... That's my favourite colour.
Blue. While the most popular colour choice for extroverts is red, introverts usually choose blue.
There you go.
Just as some introverts choose red because it gives them confidence, so will some extroverts choose blue because it gives them peace and tranquility that they lack. If blue is your favourite colour, you have a creative mind and a good imagination.
That just about sums me up.
Well, there's more.
There's
more. You want some steak knives with that? You are shrewd and perceptive and enjoy coming up with money-making ideas. There is a quiet, deep side to you also, and you need time for introspection. So that's when you'd like to go off and do your own thing and just be on your own just for that time to yourself.
That's right.
Like when you get disappear for 2.5 days meditating.
Oh, that was a long time ago. I think we need some upbeat music. Are you in the mood for a bit of upbeat music, Danielle?
Of course I am.
One of Chrissy's favourite songs, and I know she's not listening because she's listening to the TV instead, but I want to put a Ronan Keating song on, and it is very upbeat, so we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Don't even know where to begin.
This is Conversations with Spirit 2 here on Mike Spirit FM. It's about 9:10 on a Wednesday evening here in Canberra. My name is Matthew James. My brilliant studio guest is Danielle Lee, and we're on the topic of meditation, colours, music, and all the influences on our relaxation techniques that colour and sound can actually do and influences. Now, just before the break, we were actually talking about certain colour combinations, and I just went into the front room and I was looking at our Himalayan lamp, and it's a nice glowing orange colour, and I was thinking how relaxing the colour of orange is in a room, Danielle.
Well, orange is useful whenever you feel indecisive or lacking in motivation. It provides confidence and a sense of security. So that at night time, especially being orange in a dark room, would be very just that ambient and warmth, and you know, that homey feeling that you get inside your heart. That's what I was picking up with that. It increases your vitality and eliminates procrastination while helping you to focus on what you want to achieve. So orange for me at the moment, and well, like a sandy orange as well, is something that I'm using with my own work, and that's what I'm guided to use. And I had a lot of indigo. I had indigo sun developments, and I've moved on from that now, and I'm going into the oranges and the sand sort of colour together. So just having those are going to help me to eliminate the procrastination, which it has been doing. I've been very, very, you know me, Matthew, sometimes I fall back into that, I'll just go with the flow. But I've really been working in a different place this year with my work since I've decided to come back to my spiritual work. So, and orange has been the colour that helped me achieve that.
And I must admit, the colour orange used to always inspire me. What I always used to find was I used to actually use certain oils as well, natural oils and different aromatherapy oils, to really inspire me to go to certain places or experience certain things. And the actual smell of orange, I used to always put certain oils just under my nose, just for different smells and different experiences. And I mean, for example, you like put the smell of pine underneath your nose, and it's like being in a forest. And orange for me would always put me in this sort of real tranquil, sort of unreal, almost fairy realm. It's the only way to really explain it. It was this sort of realm that children go into when they've got their imaginary friends, and there's pixies in the garden, and you know, that sort of easy, enjoyable sort of realm.
Well, that's the childlike realm that we all have a part of, and we all need to be a part of and make a part of our life again, because when we grow up, we don't have to be grown up all the time.
No, I've not been grown up yet. I don't know what being a grown up is, Danielle.
Good point.
Apart from grumping too much.
Well, I love mandarin, and that's still the same, like mandarin essential oils. I used to love orange, and then I smelt mandarin, and I love mandarin. But that's still an orange colour. And even when I go into, I don't normally smell my fruit when I pick my fruit, except for mandarins. And I think it's just because of the colour of it, as well as the smell, heightens that sensory, that obviously puts me into a nice, calm, happy state. And it up.
That's right. I mean, what I'm trying to, I think what we're trying to do is inspire the listeners here who've not done a meditation before, just to give them some sort of insight of just how easy it is to actually do a meditation, and how easy things like music and smells and colours, and even the visual aids of looking at the internet prior to a meditation can really inspire you to actually do a meditation. And the whole idea really with a meditation is to put you somewhere else, is to take you out of the everyday, the mundane world, put you on an altered state of consciousness, and let you actually experience something other than the mundane world. I mean, that's what I actually find with a meditation. And I know one thing that I always sort of do for myself, and I also emulate with students when I take them on a particular meditation, is get yourself used to the seat that you're sitting in or the bed that you're lying on, and really focus on where you're sitting and let it be the room that changes. Start then visualizing that you're sitting on a chair and you're not in your room anywhere anymore. You might be in a library room or you might be in a garden somewhere. And when you start visualizing, you're seeing the library with all the books on the wall, or you're in a garden with all the fantastic flowers around you, but you're still feeling the chair that you're sitting in. Because I know there are a lot of people that are saying, well, when I meditate, I can't do the meditation because I feel the ground I'm sitting on, or I feel the chair that I'm sitting in and it puts me off. So I say to people, take the thing that you're sitting on with you.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. Perfect example of being able to do it. When you were talking about the garden, all I could see was a bench, me sitting on a bench, even though I'm sitting on laying on a bed. Well, not laying, but my legs are out on my bed now. But I could see myself sitting on a bench, like a beautiful wrought iron white bench with beautiful, like an English, old English cottage, you know, in a different sort of Victorian sort of time.
Yeah.
And it was just all the colours. It was with green lush grass, and there was a beautiful different coloured flowers in the garden, and there was a beautiful brickwork on the actual building. So that's a visualisation of colour as well as we're being in that moment as well. So we are getting colour therapy every single day, all day long, but we just don't realise it.
That's right. I mean, it's, for example, even me now, I'm sitting in our family room, and right where the computer is, we've got like the brownie red house brick. The wall, it's sort of the wall in our family room is the bare brick with the mortar, and you can see the oranges and you can see the reds and you can see the browns, and from that colour I sort of get inspired. The brain's taking those colour signals in, and it's quite a chilling colour because it's a grounding colour, but there's also energy in it as well, and there's also the fact that those bricks have been fired in a furnace. There is still that latent and retained heat in there, so the energy is still in those bricks.
Life is amazing, isn't it? Like the simplicity of everything around us that we are talking about is just amazing.
That's right. I mean, I've got a bit of a lamp, so there's a bit of a light. There's a light source. There's a bit of a white wall and a white ceiling, and white is the possibility and the openings and the unpredictability of the show, because obviously white contains every colour. So when you're looking at white, you really don't know what you're going to get.
My Duna cover is a king-size Duna cover, and without anybody in another country, a Duna is our quilt. And because it's a king-size for my winter one, it's a stark white. And it's embossed, with, you know, but it's still white. So I've got the crimson Duna, another quilt down the bottom, just folded up. And I've got the crimson pillowcases that go with it, just to break up that white, because it is too much. White can sometimes be warm, but it can sometimes also be cold. So it's just, this is a very cold Duna cover. In summer, I use it just as a sheet, like because it's a bit thicker than a sheet, and I just have it over the bed in summer and I'm cool. But in the winter, just to break up that stark whiteness of it, I put the pink on it, or I put yellow. I've got yellow sheets and we have the yellow on it. So it just, you need some sort of colour sometimes to break up white.
That's right.
I'm sitting here and I've got my beigey, whitey wardrobes and like very basic creamy coloured walls. But at the end of my bed is a beautiful wooden, like a mahogany coloured wooden frame with, when I went to Thailand last year, with a collage I've done full of the Tiger Temple when we were at the Tiger Temple. So there's the colours of the tiger, which are orange and black and, you know, a little bit of white, and plus all the green around it. Even the water that the tiger was in was like this beautiful green colour. It wasn't murky, it was like an emerald. So I'm looking at that, I'm focusing on that without even realising that I'm doing that. So it's amazing what we use when we don't even realise what we're using it for.
I've got our technical geek, and he won't mind me calling him that. I've got our friend Greg in the chat room, and he's suggesting to you, Daniel, have you got your microphone on your computer up any higher? Because a few people are saying that your voice is drifting in and out. Is your microphone on full for your headphones?
It should be. It was. I haven't touched it from the last time. I'll just go and check.
No problem. I mean, everybody can hear you. It's just that Greg, our technical geek's kind of just saying, you just need to tune your microphone on your computer, dear Danielle.
Well, that would be all well and good if I was a computer literate person. I'm just the basic girl here.
He's gone geek. Woot. So a big shout out to Greg. And I know Greg's very much a rocker, a bit like me. And I can assure you, Greg, we've been playing some very upbeat and tranquil music on the show. But I do have some rock music, which we will be kicking into very shortly, because the theme of the evening is all about music inspiring us and all about colours inspiring us. So that's why we've got upbeat music on this evening. But we're just really discussing at the moment all the everyday things, and how all the everyday colours in the rooms and in our everyday lives really inspire us. I mean, I'm standing, for example, Danielle, on terracotta tiles. There's a particular energy from those as well.
Are they orange terracotta, or are they the pale terracotta?
The pale browny orange colour.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, that's a nice earthy colour. So it's like a bringing you back down to earth, grounding you. You know, and especially the star signs that are particularly like the air signs that are particularly out there. That would be a nice, beautiful. I had those sort of coloured. And I had lived with two Geminis. And when we lived in that house that had those terracotta tiles, they were very calm in that house, now I think about it. And that would be why. Because we had that sort of colour, and it was a warming, grounding colour. Now I've got the most beautiful floorboards. Everybody that walks into my house says they are the most beautiful floorboards. They're not a normal coloured floorboard for some reason. I don't know what they've done. It appears Baltic, that Baltic pine colour.
Oh, yeah.
But it actually is a bit different. It's got a bit of a mahogany, like a very faint mahogany red to it as well, which makes them a very different type of colour. But it's very warm with the house that's got, like my lounge is turquoise, and I've got the beige and the browns and the turquoise, and I've got the wooden furniture with the floors, you know. So it brings the cool, the balance of the cool plus the warmth. So when you've got that balance, nobody ever wants to leave my house. People come and stay, and they never want to leave. And it's because of the colour and the balance of the colour that I've done, not by thinking about it, but just the way that it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Greg's just made a real valid point here. He said, Australia Post need to change and get rid of the red. The building I worked at had massive red walls, and all the people were angry. Now, I wonder why all the people were angry with the red colour on the walls.
Well, that would be... I used to work in a mail centre myself, but there was no red walls when I worked in the mail centre in Sydney. But through the day and because they think a lot, because you have to sort your mail, and you always have to, you have to read, because I've been a mail sorter, so you have to read, and the posties use the V-sort frames that they use, Like, yeah. I was lifting it in the end, but at first, if I had read there, I'd get frustrated and I'd get angry and I'd be like, because you're already going, your mind's already going so fast, thinking, when you're trying to hand-eye coordination. Imagine with red behind you stimulating that to make you want to work faster without even realizing it's making you work faster. Even me thinking about it, I can feel myself talking faster because I'm thinking about how I would feel. And yeah, so that they really need to get rid of a red wall if they've got a red wall in there.
Well, that's right, because Patty's actually put red isn't a good energy for a workplace. What about banks? Right, here is a classic example. Every time we go into the bank to put some money in the account, it is a clinical, nondescript colour on the walls. There's no music. It's imposing. It's quiet. It's horrible colours. And you just don't get inspired by a bank, do you? There's no music and there's no nice energetic or nice friendly colours, is there? Wonder why do they do that, I wonder? Apart from impose some kind of control or superiority over us.
I think it depends on the bank. Which bank? Commonwealth Bank. I don't like going into the Commonwealth Bank because of the colours in there. Isn't that funny?
Mm.
But the ANZ Bank is basically blues, and I always feel welcome there, and I get good customer service there.
So you like the blue in the ANZ Bank. We've got a morbid blue grey on the walls. It's dead silent. There's no welcoming music, and it is really imposing.
And is that an ANZ Bank down there?
That's an ANZ Bank down in Tuggers, yeah.
Well, see, our ANZ Bank here has that, well, obviously the same colour of blue, but it's like it looks more of a brighter blue. But I think it's also the environment too. Because if you haven't got the right people working in the place, that helps, you know, as well. Because I go to St. George Bank as well, which has got a lot of red. And, you know, I get a warm feeling in there. It's only the Commonwealth Bank I don't like going. But I don't like going to the Westpac Bank either.
Hmm. What about those wonderful places where you've got some really upbeat music and you've got all the zany colours on the wall and you've got all the wonderful aromatherapy smells? You know, like those, like the, not quite the New Age shops, but like the loot shops where you've got all the different knickknacks from all over the world and you've got the welcoming colours and you've got the welcoming music. That is a complete difference, isn't it?
Oh, much different. I think the banks need to be a formal clinical place anyway because they're dealing with people's money, you know, and people, businesses, you know. So I think it needs to have that clinical feel to it in some way. But who wants to be welcomed in a... I mean, yes, our ANZ Bank do welcome people. And I can't remember what bank was it. In Campbelltown, when I lived out there, they actually had a person that used to come at the ANZ Bank and come and welcome, just standing there welcoming everybody. That was her job.
Mm.
So there are some places, that, and I think I suppose my experience with that, because of that, has led me to remain with that bank. And I like the ANZ over all the banks. Now, because I think as it goes on experience, so the colour and the experience goes together in your mind, in your, you know, that keeps you feeling good.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose I think everybody who's listening is probably gleaning where we're going here. How you get also in certain stores where they'll use their air conditioning ducts to say put the smell of coffee in there and inspire you with that smell that you need to drink of coffee, or they'll put a lavender, or they'll put another smell through that actually relaxes us. You've then got like the McDonald's signs, which is the red colour. Red's very good for marketing, isn't it?
Well, red also is food. It makes you stimulate your eating centres. I don't want to say tasting, but it's your eating centres.
Mm.
So a lot of restaurants have red in them because it stimulates people to want to eat, and it's very good for eating. And the yellow, you know, of the Golden Arches, that balances out that red. So it's like, ooh, food time. And I think because because it's the marketing, yes, of the red, but it's also the eating part of the brain that goes, oh, I feel like eating now. I've seen that sign because the red stimulates that.
But isn't it amazing that the advertising geeks and dudes behind all these advertising schemes have cottoned on to colours, smells and sounds that do actually influence us?
Well, they're very smart, aren't they?
Extremely smart.
They probably wouldn't even use it. Yeah, but they wouldn't be using it in a spiritual way. It's a marketing way. It's a very business-oriented pursuit. Not where we're... I mean, we're just discussing this, but that's not where we're...
Yeah, but I was trying to emphasise to anybody who... is doubtful that colours and smells and music influence us, and there are a lot of sceptics out there who don't reckon it influences us, that there are esoteric agencies out there who are behind a lot of these marketing schemes that realise the power of colour, realise the power of sound and realise the power of smell. And if you can actually use those three, the sound, the smell and the colour together in a meditation, just think what you can create.
Oh, it's endless. It's just endless, isn't it? What your mind can create and your soul can create.
That's right. And I mean, this is the whole basis behind our discussion really. From an esoteric spiritual development angle, you can't underestimate the power of music, colour and sound, and all three should really actually go together. Music, colour and sound, sorry, I meant sound, colour and smell. Sorry, I got that wrong then. I just realised what I'd said.
But it's all relative. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense, whether it's sound or music. Because sometimes people will listen to music, but they'll listen to sounds as well. So the sound of water can have a colour to it.
Well, that's right. I mean, you'll have heard of binaural frequencies and binaural rhythms, won't you?
No, I haven't actually.
Right, it's another meditation technique, and it's a sound frequency. And what happens is that you wear headphones and you have one particular sound frequency going in your left ear and you have a different sound frequency going in your right ear. When those two sounds combine, they make an extra third sound, and it's really good for meditation work and for concentration work. Like, and we're talking about alpha beats, delta beats, theta waves. These are all binaural rhythms.
I have actually seen on this
binaural. Sorry, thanks, Greg. It's binaural. Sorry,
but I didn't actually have a name to it. So I have seen it on this brain games. Obviously, I didn't practice it, but they showed it on that TV show. That sort of thing. It was about what your mind can do and how it works with those sounds, doing that type of thing.
Because I'm trying to remember, theta waves help us concentrate or put us on an altered state that makes us sort of access the subconscious, and we can really think situations through. Alpha and beta waves, I believe are linked to actual sleep.
Well, I'm not too up on those waves. Now you've given me something to research. I think that's my favourite thing to do.
Do you have an iPhone, because there is a brilliant app on iPhone which is all about these binaural waves. There are some brilliant apps on there which can actually help you go to sleep, or can actually help you concentrate, or help you actually meditate and put you in an altered state of consciousness. It's all sound waves.
Well, that would be very good for someone starting out too.
Very true. They are very good for starting out. And I know there's a program on
so
the
internet. So if you were to use that to start out.
Yeah, you would. What actually happens is the more you use these sound waves, the more you're attuning or training your brain to actually concentrate and also to relax as well.
Yeah, there's so many, isn't there so many different ways that, because everybody is so different, that will work for some people, but other people might find it a bit difficult.
Yeah.
As well, because that's the way our, the different ways our brains work, because it is part of the brain as well and how that functions to get all those sorts of things happening.
That's
getting
fine.
It all in balance.
That's right.
I haven't taken my eyes off, like I don't even realise I'm doing it, but off the collage on my wall. Isn't that funny? I just want to say something, going back to the colour therapy for a second.
Yeah.
I walked into that video shop.
Yeah.
And it's a huge wall, only one wall, this huge wall. And I went, and it sort of juts out and then goes straight along. Because it's got another room behind one of the walls. And I thought, wow, they've painted that wall. And then the girl opened the door to go into the staff.
Yeah.
Just that big one wall, or two walls. But when she opened the door and you could see the green through the door, it was too much. And it was just a big shock, and it was an overkill of colour. So you can also get an overkill of colour as well, affecting how you feel if you're not.
That's spot on.
But that, because that was just and like a because it was such a oh wow that looks really really nice, and then as soon as she opened that door, I was like whoa, I felt sick and I just wanted to get out of there straight away.
I mean, I know there's so many places where there are colours that. You just want to get out of. I know exactly what you're talking about. Just going back to the previous point, I've just actually found something on the computer. There's actually some software out there called the Brainwave Generator. It's BWGen is the actual application. So it's a brainwave generator. It's actual freeware, and this can actually be downloaded. I've got a copy of it on my computer, and you can actually create these sound waves. And it's the actual introduction on the notepad, the README text, reads, Brainwave Generator is a brain stimulation application that works by generating binaural beat frequencies. With binaural beats, you can stimulate your brain to make yourself relaxed, helping meditation or self-hypnosis, and enhance learning capabilities, induce sleep, help focusing attention, and so on. So if anyone goes on the internet and they're really interested in working with these binaural frequencies, I do recommend the Brainwave Generator. It's dead easy to install, and it has a lot of preset sounds, but I do actually recommend that everybody you actually use headphones. That's the whole point of this. The idea is that there are two frequencies created, one in the left brain, one in the right brain, and they combine to make the third frequency. And it's the third frequency that does the most work. And you can only really hear that third frequency with headphones on.
It's amazing how our brains work. Like, because we're taking one sound in one side of our head, and then the other side's getting another sound, and it creates a third sound by having the two sounds together.
That's right.
Like 1 + 2 = 3.
That's correct.
And watching this, I know we're getting a little bit off track here, but watching this brain games, it's called, it's such an interesting thing. So once you get your brain going into different directions, so if you see your brain as a different colour, so if you want to calm your brain down, think of it as a blue colour, or if you're overthinking things. So that's another way.
Most definitely.
If you want stimulation, use Yeah, use some yellow or like a burnt orange. So it's got that little bit of red in it. You know,
that's
so
correct.
There's different ways you can still use colour with using your brain waves and your brain that will keep your brain in check and focused. So whatever colour you feel focused on or helps you to focus, like imagine your brain is that colour. That was just a message that just sort of came through then, sorry.
It's a good message, though. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we are in a five-sensory world. Three of the senses, obviously, is smell, is sound, and is also sight. And, I mean, we're basically talking about those three major senses.
Well, I think things get we overlook them because we talk about how we feel a lot and our touch, so that's touching and feeling is the same thing. We're always talking about that. So I think we just take the three senses of sound, smell and sight for granted until something happens to us and we may lose that, or it becomes like when we need glasses, like I do at the moment. We learn to appreciate more what we have.
Have you bought any? My brain's gone completely completely blank. Then pinhole glasses.
No.
They can be. You can buy them for about $3 on eBay, and all they basically are, they look like sunglasses, but the lenses are all little tiny little holes. So when you actually look through them, all you see through is a series of little holes. They rest the eyes.
Oh.
And if you've got eye strain, they will. You can actually read close up, or you can. I mean. They're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant. But they only work if you've got eye strain.
Well, I feel it is eye strain because, I mean, I can read perfectly. I can read what's written in front of me on the computer, which is very small in the text. But it's when I look up, you know what it is? It's when I use my phone and I'm on my phone on Facebook or like internet or something, and then I look up and then everything's blurry. And apparently, this is a warning for everybody that think you're going blind. It actually is happening to everybody, not just age-related, but it's also happening to everybody because the iPhones are so small, and even the iPads to some level, they're so small, and then our brains are having trouble marrying up the two when you're looking further away again.
Plus, you've got the lights on as well. They're always a backlight, and since I've used my iPad, that my eyes have been, pardon the word, completely screwed.
Yes, well, mine since I've been using my iPhone.
And I think it's just eye strain. It's you need to rest the eyes, or it's just something that everybody unfortunately is experiencing.
Well, that's the way of technology, but we need to. If those pinhole glasses are they good?
They are good because I've actually got a pair, and when I put them on, I can read those really small apps on the iPod, and I can read the very small writing on in the books or on the medicine tin or what you normally can't read. You can read them absolutely perfectly.
Oh, I might have to invest in some just to rest my eyes. There are exercises you can do as well, like that are pretty basic exercises to help your muscles. I think it's your muscles, don't they become weak?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, yeah.
Strain. So if you do like move them from side to side and up and down and round both ways, that helps with building that muscle back up.
That's right.
To do it.
Now, at this point, let's just have another piece of upbeat music, about four and a half minutes, and then we'll come back on. It'll be the last part of the show. So here is a track by The Scorpions, which is a personal favourite of mine, and we'll be back in about 4.5 minutes.
Can't
Okay, we're into the last 10 minutes of the show. Yes, 10 minutes of the show, everyone. It's gone really quickly this evening. It's been an interesting show. We've been discussing meditation and colors and sounds and smells, all the different things that basically stimulate us in our spiritual development. My fantastic guest has been Danielle Lee. Have you got any closing sentiments, Danielle? We're into about the last 5 minutes of chat before I put the outro of the evening on.
Well, I just feel that people need to be aware of what's going on in their world around them at specific times in regards to colour and sound. When we're in our car driving, it just keeps coming back to that. I can just see people driving in their cars and they're listening to music and they've got the black predominantly of the dashboards. And, you know, look at the colour around you. Look at the red light. Look at the green light. Look at the amber light. Look at the car next to you. For example, my grandmother has dementia and she is in the later stages of dementia. I still take her out. She's still able to function, but when we go out, all she looks at is the colours. When we go out, she looks at the colour green. Everything's so green. And she looks at all the different cars and all the colours of the different cars now. And she's so funny, so she said the other week, wouldn't it be funny if they had a pink car out there these days? And I said, they do, Nan, they do have pink cars out there. But I haven't been able to show her one yet. I haven't come across one, but I have seen them. So colour affects everybody, and it makes people feel good. So that's just an instance. I think we just need to be aware of our surroundings and what's going on around us in our hearing, you know. Where are they listening to the radio? When I travel, which I do a lot on the road, sometimes I don't have the radio on, I just like the quiet and the hum of the road, you know, because it's just sometimes you need to go into that quiet place. And then other times I've got the music blaring and it's loud, happy, you know, pop rock music, or then I might have meditative music. That's just irrelevant. I mean, when you're traveling to Queensland, that's a big long drive. So
yeah, I know that one very well. I did it. Probably about 5 weeks ago now, from about 2:30 in the morning, we set off all the way to Queensland from Sydney. It is a long drive.
It is a long drive, but I love it. I absolutely love that drive, and I haven't done it for a few years. and I have to say I'm very excited to be going to the Gold Coast for to be a guest speaker on platform, and then the next and do some work up there. So I'm really looking forward to that drive and the surroundings. You know, when you get to Byron Bay and
Byron Bay. I want to go back there. When you get in that car park and you're looking across the beach, and you've got all the smells and the sights and the sounds of that beach. Wow.
There's so many, and there's another Brunswick Heads is another place which is very close to Byron Bay. But it's just travelling along that road with the greenery of all the pastures, but you can see the blue of the ocean. You know, it's just that whole, and the blue of the sky and the white in the clouds, and it's just that, and the green trees. I take all those senses in, and I think if we all just take a little bit of something of the colour that's around us.
Mm.
And the sounds and the smells, and just really think about what is around us these days. Because we go, oh, that smells nice, and then we move on from it. But actually keep yourself in that moment and ask yourself, how do I really feel with smelling that smell?
Well, that's right, because what people are going to realise is that even though you're not aware you are taking your surroundings in, your subconscious is actually recording absolutely everything. It's taking it all in. So when you're actually focused on driving and you're looking at those lanes of that road, your subconscious is actually completely free. Your eyes might be actually looking at the road, but your subconscious is noticing the trees to the right and the left. It's noticing the sky above. And that's why we tend to go into an autopilot mode, because our brain, our logical brain, is fixed on the road. And I mean, how many of you, we might have a 3 or 4 hour drive, and hang on, I mean, that only took 2 minutes. It's because it feels like it only took 2 minutes because you've gone on autopilot, because you're that fixed on the road, your subconscious has suddenly switched off, and you're away with the fairies, so to speak, in the surroundings around you. But the problem is, you don't remember that you've actually done that.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Especially when you're doing lots of travelling.
Well, yeah. I mean, I sat off out of the Psychic TV studios at 2:30 on the Thursday night, and I arrived at Coffs Harbour at about 7:50, and I don't remember arriving there. All I remember is driving through the night, and then the dawn came up, and there was this wonderful scenery, and this wonderful music was coming out of the speakers, and I can't remember the journey, Danielle.
And that's a good place to be too, like, because obviously you didn't need to remember the journey. But sometimes when we smell things, and we need to live in the moment too. Like when you're driving those long distances and you're taking in those sights, that helps you get there faster, and that's a positive thing. But when we're like walking somewhere or just generally being somewhere, and we see a colour, or we don't live in that moment. We push through that moment and we rush it. So we need to start living in the now and in the moment. I mean, and I've learnt to do that. I've practiced.
We need to applaud you, Danielle, for coming to the end of the show, and I really need to thank you so much. We're down to about 3 minutes, Danielle, and Daniel Lee, everybody, has been my fantastic guest, a good friend of mine from Sydney. I kind of know with certainty that she'll be back on the show again, won't you, Danielle?
I would love to.
Been fantastic having you on. I'm going to have to leave it there, because I'm going to have to do our outro. I'm going to have to play a nice goodbye piece of music, and then I'm going to have to say goodbye to everybody. So the music outro is another Med Goodall track. It's one that has got a nice, mellow sort of feel to it. It's called The Last River, and I can't remember which of his albums it's off. So I'm going to say good night to everybody, and we're going to finish with this track.
Thanks for tuning in to Matthew James Medium. You can contact Matthew anytime by logging on to www.matthewjamesmedium.com. Until next week, goodbye.